can keep in line. Everything's fine. You got all that you need. The Curry and the Keeper. Yeah, Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper, August 14th, 2024, episode 100.
Curry and the Keeper.
We did it. We made it. 100.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, we're 100.
Well, we're 100. Reached 100. We're going to retire the show now.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic move. Classic move.
That's a classic Adam Curry move.
Hold on a second. Congratulations on a great job.
See, even the president checks in.
The ex-president.
Celebration.
Come on.
Who's
it's a celebration.
Is this someone who loves us?
Celebration.
100 episodes, wow. Babe. It has not been an easy ride.
No, well, it hasn't been too bad. Congrats, babe. I'm glad I was able to carry you for 100 shows.
Okay, is that it? We fold the show now? That's it?
No.
Good job. We had a good run.
That's what you said to John with no agenda at 100. You're like, we had a good run. We're done.
We had a good run, man.
No, it's been great. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I got my joy back. I found my joy.
I am so happy for you. Yes. We got a lot of joy notes.
We did.
Want me to read one?
Sure. We can go right into it.
No, it's okay. We it's your show. I'm just here to facilitate.
I received several messages on Instagram, and I also received a lovely email from Connie, who is Ellen's boyfriend's mom, who I have to meet someday.
Future mother-in-law is what we call that.
Oh, we need to cheers first.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
I got...
You got wine in a can, and not the first time in this week.
It's not wine. It's Pellegrino.
Cheers. Well, we
blood orange and black raspberry Pellegrino.
I am drinking the house favorite, Mi Oh My.
Mi Oh Me.
Although, now, did we... Because I had the new Mi Oh Me.
Yes, and that was in the clear bottle, which was unusual.
I need to get another bottle of that show.
Yes.
That, it's like some kind of premier... Mi Oh My.
Yeah, it's $5 more. That's why. They just put reserve or premiere.
They did premier, reserve.
Yeah. Let's just throw $5 extra.
Luke's.
Yeah.
But I really like, you tasted it. It was really good.
It was very, very good.
I'm going to have a little sip of this.
Yeah. Mm.
Here we are. We got up very early this morning.
We did. We got lots of stories. But anyway, yes, my joy has returned. And I have to thank my bestie, Annette, for helping me find my joy again. And being with her for the last few days was really lovely. And it ties into my God shot. So I don't want to get too much into it. But, you know, she did remind me of something and I took that to heart. And I understand what she meant. And I live that and I know that. But yes, we did get a lot of incredibly lovely, lovely emails.
May I read the note from Dan Williams?
Yes.
Hello, Tina and Adam, regular small contributor here. It doesn't matter. We like all contributors. Tina, I heard your recent comment about losing joy with the podcast. Certain that it's a lot of work behind the scenes. So much work. You two have clearly chronicled the level of busyness. Family responsibility, travel, and such.
Yes.
And so losing joy is certainly understandable.
Thank you.
Just know that you two are an immense blessing to me and my wife. We are by no means newbie Christ followers, yet hearing the incredible conversion stories and subsequent journey has been so valuable. That excitement of being transformed daily through Jesus, your focus on scripture, and bonding with other believers reminds us how we felt when our faith was vibrant and new. Are you on Instagram?
I am pulling up messages on Instagram. I'm sorry.
Things get stale sometimes. You have helped to shake us up. How about that? From the recovery angle, speaking to your efforts to forgive and heal old relationships has been just so refreshing, frank, and very moving. I'm certain there are many, many more who would say they have become an integral piece in their weekly schedules. I do read the newsletter, by the way.
Yeah.
Please take
I've gotten
heart
several of those.
That you two are bright lights in a dark world.
Thank you.
And he has a whole bunch of other stuff that...
And Jay sent a really nice email.
Yes, I have that one too.
He gave us the comments on the toilet too.
By the way, Dan is Dan Williams, Kilo Juliet 5, Golf Yankee 73s, Kilo 5, Alpha Charlie, Ham Guy. Hello.
am nerd.
Do you have Jay's note there?
I was going to go ahead, because then I'm going to read Winnie's.
Okay.
And you have to read the whole thing.
No, but I'll read the potty. The part about you. First of all, I'm confused about your downcast attitude at the outset of what is now yesterday's podcast. Did you say that you felt like nobody was listening or something like that? What? You have a successful podcast that materialized out of, well, nothing. God said, let there be Curry and the Keeper. And he said, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. God did direct it.
The Almighty and has very high expectations for the rest of us. We're listening and we love the podcast. You are the star. You are the talent. And you are the driver of this very interesting podcast.
Thank you.
Plus, you have the benefit of having an exceptionally better than average producer.
This is true.
Okay. Thanks.
Anyway,
Jay,
thank you, Jay.
Jay Ventura.
That was, yes. And like I said, Connie sent me, I have to answer Connie and Jay and Dan. But she sent me a really lovely, lovely email too. And I got it right when we were leaving for Boston. But Winnie is in the Netherlands.
Oh, and is she the surfer chick?
Yes. She's the surfer girl chick.
Sorry.
Girl.
So
she said, dearest Tina, I felt so sad when I heard you lost your podcast mojo because you don't feel like people are caring, listening. Personally, I love all caps the podcast. Every week I'm looking forward to a new episode from my favorite podcast duo. It is always new, entertaining, and makes me think and full of love.
Oh,
I know. Wasn't that
so nice?
And even Sarah listens to the show and she likes every single newsletter that I send. And she sent me a really nice note too. So yes. So luckily my joy has returned.
But I'm reminded as someone who's been podcasting for a bit that most podcasts pod fade after 7 episodes. Precisely because of the lack of feedback. And it's, you have to ask for it. You have to solicit feedback.
And this wasn't phishing. I wasn't fishing for feedback.
No. I mean, I was like, well, pack it up. I'll just put the jingles.
My Wednesday nights are free now.
That's right. I can do something else with my time. No. Yeah. You were pretty close.
I will talk about when we get to my God shot. So Joy's back. I'm back. We're going to do another 100 episodes.
At least.
Maybe.
You're so enthusiastic.
I wanted to give a big shout out, big happy birthday to our OG Samonier,
Michael Anastasio.
Yes, we'll talk about him in the donation segment. But Michael, we love you and we hope you have a blessed birthday.
Without a doubt, the cornerstone of the show.
Yes.
He's a cornerstone of the show for sure.
Oh, okay. So where do you want to start?
We should really talk about our trip because it was so fantastic.
Elise had a friend over for the weekend.
Yeah, this is where it starts.
Yes, Elise had a friend over for the weekend.
And we were going to be leaving very early Monday morning.
Yes, but we went out to dinner. We took her to Vaudeville and saw Richard on Saturday, which was really nice. And the thing about, so Elise has been here since June 28th. She's leaving soon.
Well,
about two and a half weeks. And this was the first time she's had a visitor and first time that she's really been able to do something with her friends.
And also she could walk. I mean, she's healing beautifully. She's doing very well.
But she had so much joy having her friend here. It just, talk about joy. I loved watching her have a good time, and have fun. And so we took them out to Vaudeville.
If I can just step back for 1 second.
Sure.
So Caro.
Yes.
She rolls up. She drove up from Austin. She was in Austin on some business. And she rolls up. Elise goes out to open the door.
Oh, yes.
So there's no doorbell.
Right.
And whenever someone new comes in, we always have to say, we're going to let Phoebe off her place. Because Phoebe's always like, hi. She wasn't barking.
She didn't bark. She was on her place.
She was like, just please ignore her. 9 out of 10 people will forget that within 30 seconds.
Because she's so pretty. The dog is so, she's got such a pretty face.
Let me pet you.
I know. And I'm like, don't pet her. So what does she do? She turns around and pets her.
But Phoebe right away was like, okay.
She was fine with her.
Perfect. Uh-huh. Perfect. So, and that was good.
Well, Caro has a very calming, calm personality.
She does.
And Phoebe picked up on that.
Yeah.
So, and Elise was watchful too, because she obviously felt Phoebe's wrath.
Yeah, the wrath of the Feedmeister. Yes.
And so, no, but it was, and I know that it was fun for Elise to have her here as she showed up on Saturday and they left Monday morning. So that was nice. It was nice that she could just spend some time with her and hang out with her and do whatever they do. Like they went and hit the local bars on Saturday night.
They did. And there was a big disappointment in all of this.
Yes.
A Phoebe fail.
Oh, yes. This dog has the most ferocious bark.
Yeah, I mean,
it's loud and it's bold.
I mean, if there's even a hedgehog that rolls past the window or a cat, she is all up in arms. And we had her in the middle of the night get all barking about something and go all crazy. So the girls were out and we knew I had to get up at 5
to
start prepping and my regular Sunday routine. And so, you know, we're in bed like 10:30, like, okay, we're going to bed. And I think you were also a little anxious. Just when is she going to come home? Because, you know, it was the first big night. You're a mom.
I know.
It's what you do.
You just don't ever stop worrying about your kids.
I'm just going to be quiet. But then I did text Lisa, said, if you come home and Phoebe's barking, do not open the door to the studio where she sleeps, because I'm worried that she's going to think there's an intruder.
Lunge at her and
go
after her.
Right. Crickets.
The
kids came in. They came in at midnight. You know, they were quiet about it, but nothing. Phoebe didn't eat nothing.
Not a peep.
Not a single thing.
Good watchdog.
What is? I mean, do you think that
fail?
Even though the Uber rolled up on the driveway, not a single peep out of her.
Watchdog fail.
Phoebe fail.
Phoebe fail. There's the show title right there.
And I was like, What are you doing, dog? What are you doing? So I'm hopeful that it's just because she smelled them, maybe.
But even the car rolling up,
I don't know what that
I
would.
Don't know. Anyway.
I sure hope that if something happens, that she will be a little more vocal than this nothingness.
There was crickets, silence.
Anyway, so we had a short night because we were just kind of like, you know, we're old, you know, like the kids in yet, or asleep yet.
Most of my friends are in bed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true.
Our friends are like our age.
5 a.m. came early for me.
Yes, 5 a.m. does come early for you. What I like about Sundays, so you get up early, you come into the studio, you make your coffee, you come into the studio. Phoebe just stays in her bed, and you're starting to work.
She just looks at me like, oh, must be Sunday.
And then about 7:30, you go, you take your shower, and then you take Phoebe out, you feed her, take her out, and then you go back in the studio for the next, I don't know, half hour or so.
It's 20 minutes, if that.
Yeah, and then we go to church, and you know, you come back, you finish up, you do the show, and then after the show, you always go in to take another shower. You're like, I'm gonna go take a shower.
I know, I always forget.
You're like
that I'm
so conditioned, because on Thursdays you don't take a shower until after the show. I'm like, you're already clean.
I'm always walking that way. Like, I know.
You're good.
And then we decided it would be a better idea since we had it 6 a.m. flight.
We had 6:50, I think it was.
Oh, 10 to 7. Right. Yeah. We decided to go to San Antonio, which is still 1:15 from here, and stay overnight in the airport Marriott.
Yeah.
And then go in the morning, which I think was a great decision.
Yes.
Really was. And, you know, so we moseyed on down. Elise was out. Was she out again?
No. She was here.
Was she here?
Was she here?
No. No.
Oh, they went out to go get ice cream or something. Yeah, they had gone out. Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we drive down and we spend the night. We get up early and our journey began.
Oh, yes. And we prayed for God's favor. And so
we went
to right outside of Boston. We went with Pastor Jimmy and Annette on a quick trip. And it was.
Well, maybe we should step back for 1 second.
What are you getting?
I'm getting my Remarkable, because I need to make notes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I was unprepared for the show.
What?
We knew that we were going to do a couple of things. And one of these things we were going to do is we're going to see the monument for the forefathers in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Yes. We've watched part of this series called Biblical Citizenship. And it's put on by Rick Green. Is it Is it the Patriot Academy produces it? I don't know if that's...
I don't know if it's Remnant Alliance or Patriot... Oh, okay. Well, Rick Green, of course, is Patriot Academy, but with Kirk Cameron.
Yes. And so we found out about this monument in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And so we were very intrigued. Like, we want to go see this thing. This thing is pretty amazing.
And so Pastor Jimmy and Annette gave us, on Sunday, gave us the DVD to watch.
Monumental.
This documentary called Monumental, which was done in 2012. And Kirk Cameron does this whole journey going back to, you know, the original separatists.
Yes.
Who were, the Church of England called them, you know, the Puritans initially. And how they went and, you know, and decided to leave and leave the Church of England, leave England. They went to the Netherlands and then eventually went to the new land. And this monument is the way it was described in the documentary, just like the children of Israel put the 12 stones to remind them of the journey they had made. Uh-huh. This is kind of the forefathers on the Mayflower. They concepted this monument, which is, I call it the guide stone, kind of the actual guide stone of, if we ever lose our way in America, here are the things we need, the things we need to have in our country to make it work. It's a great story. I've never heard of this thing in my life, ever.
We didn't even know the monument existed.
Never heard about it. Never really even heard the story.
But the
properly.
Way this whole trip came about was Pastor Jimmy and Annette were watching the Doobie Brothers on YouTube or on television on some show. And they're like,
as
wow.
One does.
They're like, they saw the concert and they're like, that's really cool. Let's go. Hopefully they're coming to Texas. And so she looked at their tour schedule and found that they were going to Boston in August, but this a couple days ago. And then it just all tied in like, oh, since we're going outside of Boston, let's go to Plymouth and see this monument. So it just worked beautifully together.
Yeah. By the way, of course, I had to put the Phoebe in the gulag. She had to go. Yes. No, actually, you took her. You took
I
her
took
Sunday.
Her. Chaos. It was all chaos.
Tell. What was chaos?
Well, I walk in with her and there's a German shepherd as soon as I open the door and all of a sudden she's going crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm holding her back. She's 97 pounds. I'm holding her back.
Won't bark at intruders coming into the home, but German shepherd.
So
it was
a little chaotic. And then when I got her in there, it was fine. So so I dropped her off and it was all good. All good.
So our plan was, and I think we later discussed, they were all like, why are we doing this? We're doing this trip. Like, everyone's tired.
No, you were the only one that did say
no,
that.
Because Pastor Jimmy also said, he's like, we've been traveling so much. Why are we doing this again? But then we saw each other at the airport. Like, we were excited. Okay, we're going to go. And we get into...
No. So we stay at the...
I'm sorry.
We stay at the airport hotel.
Missing important things, I'm
we
sure.
We stay at the airport hotel. We get up at, 4:30, 4:45. We get up at 4:45. Yeah. And you're getting ready. You're like, I'm going to make some coffee. I'm like, what? And you go, you look at me, you go, because I like the experience. The coffee is crayon water. That coffee is the worst coffee
ever.
I
love the little machine where you put the slide in. It's got that coffee bag in there.
It's plastic.
You had some too.
I just drank it because I had to have something.
And I love the whole experience of making it because you just pour the water in.
I like the experience. I'm like, okay.
I do. I like it. Reminds me of sales calls. It reminds me of sales calls of a career long ago.
Crayon water.
It's Monday. Must be Tulsa. Time to pitch somebody.
And then, so we get up, we get to the airport, we get on the plane, we're flying. So we had to fly. We flew to Tennessee first. Really easy. It was an easy connection.
Yes. I rue the day when...
I know
when,
you don't when like
I can't believe Southwest is going to do away with their system. They're going to go to... I hear you, Christina Pearl.
Yeah.
When they're going to do away and they're going to do, reserve seating. I just love
there's
the whole
there's
going to
be a first class now in Southwest.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Anyway, so we're going into Boston, okay? We're on the plane. We're coming in. You look at me and you go, he's going really fast. And all of a sudden... Boom! He smacks down on the...
I think I said, we're coming in fast.
Yes, you go, we're coming in fast. And all of a sudden, I'm surprised the plane didn't bottom out.
Teeth are rattling.
I'm surprised the plane did not bottom out.
That was a little hard.
That was a hard landing. Yeah, that was a hard landing.
Yeah.
So
and so then we had another Marriott. We're all Bonvoy
Yes.
Points members.
Yes.
We love this.
I learned that from Annette.
Yes.
Yeah, because she gets free rooms all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so we were at the Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Yeah, the Renaissance.
And I was having flashbacks.
Were you?
Because
has it been there that long?
Not the stadium. But Gillette and Reebok were my clients, and we would go to Stoughton.
Oh.
And so Foxborough, Stoughton, it's all kind of outside of the Boston area. I just had these flashbacks. That's hence the coffee experience of flying in.
The crayon water.
Getting up early.
Crayon coffee.
Going to service the client, you know, all that stuff. You know, I learned a lot in those days. So we're staying right by the Patriot Place, I think it's called. So it's.
Yes. Everything was Patriot something.
Yeah. I mean, so
Hello,
New England Patriots.
Hello, ding.
Yeah. So they have, you know, just restaurants and even one store called It's Sugar.
It's Sugar. it's all sugar.
Even had a sign that says, nothing in here has any nutritional value whatsoever. And so, we kind of got situated and then we got ready to go to the concert. It was the Doobie Brothers.
Yes.
And this is at the Xfinity Center,
yes,
which turns out is a 12,000-seater.
Oh, is it 12,000?
Outdoor
seats?
Amphitheater, yeah.
You looked it up?
Yeah, half of it's, so that includes
the lawn.
The grass, the lawn seats. So I'd say there were at least 10,000 people.
Well, we saw Steve Winwood and the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, Steve Winwood opening up. Steve Winwood is now 76. Most of the Doobies are in their early to mid-70s.
Yes.
And Steve Winwood blew us away.
Oh my
and
goodness.
And he was just the opening act.
Yes. He was amazing.
And I
amazing.
Last time I'd seen him, and I interviewed him, is 1988, I think.
What, really?
Yeah, 88.
He should have rushed the stage.
Hey, Steve, remember me? Steve doesn't get up from the piano bench, from the Hammond that easy anymore.
He's 76.
But when he went into Mr. Fantasy, which is a classic Traffic song.
Is that where you played the guitar?
Yes.
Oh.
And that's a third of that song is basically guitar solo. Uh-huh. I mean, you could even see the younger band members just looking at him going like, yeah, Steve's rocking it, man.
He was phenomenal.
The crowd was on its feet. He has hits. But when he played that, it was just, mind blowing.
But before we went into the concert, we got our beverages. So yeah. we wanted wine. And they're like, well, you got to go to the grab and go store.
Yes.
Because it was beer.
ID on the way.
So
in.
Everything
Not a
was
single
in a
person was under 60 at this
and
concert.
And they're IDing
they're carding
and,
everybody.
And you got recognized.
Oh, yeah. But the younger kid. Yeah.
Yeah. But Annette and I got rosé in a can. Jimmy got some type of IPA lager.
Yeah, he got an IPA. Yeah.
Yes. And you got?
Jack and Coke in a can.
Jack and Coke
Pre-mixed.
In a can.
Fantastic. Awesome. Awesome.
Well, that was kind of fun, though. It was the vibe. It was the vibe.
No, we weren't sitting next. We were very close to each other. They were just a couple rows behind us.
What about the weather? The weather?
75 degrees.
It was
just beautiful.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Fantastic.
But anyway, so Steve Winwood opened. Fantastic. Fantastic. Loved it. And then I don't know. There was a guy next to me that had to be 85, maybe pushing 90.
Yeah.
You know, and when Steve Winwood was playing, his eyes were kind of closed. I didn't know if he was enjoying the music or sleeping. The guy next to you was very animated. He was playing his instruments.
And we were chatty Cathy a little bit. Like, oh yeah, it's awesome. Is he going to do Low Spark?
Yeah. A lot of weed. People were smoking a lot of weed.
It's legal in Massachusetts.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So there was definitely a lot of weed smell.
Yeah. People were high.
Whew.
Everywhere they were high.
And, I even blew my vape from time to time. A little vape. just vape juice.
So
nothing
talk
else.
About the Doobie Brothers.
So the Doobie Brothers come on, and it's, you know, in no way is it like the Doobie Brothers of the 70s. Not everyone's there. Like the bass player, Skunk Baxter, who I remember, he was touring with Phil Collins. That's when I met him.
Uh-huh.
He's no longer with them. They have this sax player who's...
Oh. Phenomenal.
Who's only been with them recently since 1999.
20 years.
24 years. Mark. Oh, what's his name?
I forget his name.
Who has this just fantastic long gray hair, you know, and he's a big guy. And as I looked him up, I'm like, oh, I know him. He's from Tower of Power.
Yes.
And so he's played, you know, so his sax sounds a lot like the Saturday Night Live band or even Late Night with David Letterman, and he was very prominent throughout the show. It was a great addition to the whole band. And the first, I'd say 45, 50 minutes, we're like...
No, I would say 30 minutes. It wasn't that long.
I looked at my watch. I'm like...
Oh, yeah. They played some songs that we didn't know. No, like, I was surprised with what they opened.
A recent album, and it's like, okay.
Like, we're dedicating this song to Bill. We're like, we don't care about Bill. Play the hits.
Play the hits, man.
So, yes. So, a couple of the songs we didn't know. And then when they finally got into their hits, quite a few we didn't know. Yeah. And then once they got into their hits, which was the latter half of the show, it was really, really good.
Well, it started and they had, you know, video stuff going on.
In the background of all their old footage. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me just see. I just want to know the name of the... I just want to get Mark's name because I feel bad that I don't know him.
Yes, because he probably listens to our show.
You'd be surprised. You'd be very, very surprised.
If you are listening to our show, call me. I'd like to talk about revamping your set.
At least the order of the songs, maybe. Yeah, possibly. And Mark Russo, there it is. I mean, he's played on a lot of stuff.
He was phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
He's a studio
guy. He had a lot of solos, too.
Because he was just good. I mean, yes, really fit.
I agree.
So Michael McDonald, he's still there, of course, along with
which I really love. I love Michael McDonald.
And Tom Johnson and Patrick Simmons. They're all the OG guys. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I think it really started with Jesus Is Just All Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and they actually did a cool rendition. It was a little longer than the single that I've played for 100 years mm-hmm. on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I think it really, once they did that, then it was just boom, 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 yeah. 45 minutes of hits,
yes,
just all the way through, ending up with an encore with Listen to the Music, the whole auditorium is singing.
It was great. It was phenomenal. We were just
jumping for joy.
Yeah, we were dancing. Yeah.
And especially because Adam had said, yes, let's get the VIP parking.
Well, wait, before you go there. Yes, that's one thing. But before, so the old man next to me had the biggest smile on his face when they were playing. Like the biggest smile. Yeah. He was totally enjoying it. Okay, I have to talk about Michael McDonald and how he sang the hits. I love him and I love his voice.
And his voice
is still the
same. But I
didn't like how he changed up the way he sang the songs. He kind of added a little twist to it. You know,
well, after he was doing like syncopic. So it'd be like, she came from somewhere back in her long ago. No, Mike, that's not how you sing the song, Mike. And we're looking at each other like, no.
Like, wait, he's not singing it like the record.
And I know he's bored of singing it
for 50 years.
Right, because
he's been singing it for 50 years, but, and you're like, I don't care. Give the fans what they want.
Come on, Mike, sing it the way we all know how to sing it.
We don't care if you're bored.
And it was only his songs, by the
way. Exactly.
Yeah, everyone else
the
was
three
just...
three or four songs that he sang.
Everything else was spot on, exactly the way we remember. Long Train Run in China Grove. Oh, it was so good.
Oh, it was phenomenal. They were great. They were absolutely great. It was
well worth it. And then Tina's like, how much do you think these guys make a night? I don't know, man. What is a doobie worth?
So we get the VIP parking because I'm like, hey, let's get VIP parking because we can get in and out really quick. You didn't want to do the rock star parking, which was a lot, but the VIP was not.
It was
not
it was
much.
The way to go.
Yes, and so we got we parked like
right in front of the entrance.
Yes, yeah. And so we're getting ready and we're walking to the car and Pastor Jimmy opens the car. He opens the car. The lights are on, right? Did he unlock it?
He unlocks it, yeah.
And so we look at the license plates.
I look at the license
plate. You look
plate.
At the, okay, not we. Adam looks at the license
I
plate.
Say,
and go ahead.
Hey, people, look at this. It was a rental car.
You didn't know that it was our car, though, at
no,
first.
I was looking at the other car because I thought, did he leave the door open? No. And then peep, peep, and the lights go on. It was Audi Q5. And I look at the license plate. I said, you will not believe this. Number 4, FAM 33.
I know.
4FAM 33. And here we are. The four of us, fam.
Family.
And of course, the magic number, 33. 33. Could it go any better than that?
And I'm going, that is a God wink if I ever saw one. That was like a bonding moment.
It was
that
great.
That should be the title of the show.
Bonding moment?
No, 4FAM 33.
Oh, I like that. That's also good. Yeah.
That solidified everything. Yes. Don't you think? Like God's like, yes I bless this. I bless all of this. Wasn't it cool?
It was beyond cool. Yes. Especially that everybody knew that how significant 33 was.
Yes, because it's one of
it's the magic number, man. Yes. We all know it. It's the magic number.
Yes.
It was great. And
it was a perfect evening. We had so much fun.
So we drive home and we get up to the hotel. I'm like, hey, everybody, let's have a drink at the bar. And everyone's like, no,
we're going like, Adam wants to go. Drink. I'm going to bed. You've been up since 4:45.
Well, I am the youngest of the group, so there you go.
Not for very long.
I still have a 5 in my number.
Not for very long. You have 17. You have 20 days, and you enter the.
I was ready to rock and roll. I'm like, come on, everybody, rock and roll.
Oh,
let's have some drinks. And was like, no.
Pass.
Yeah,
pass.
Yeah. So we go to bed.
Yeah,
it's 11:30. Granted, only 10:30 Texas time, so it was about our bedtime.
Yes,
and then we wake up the next morning. We had a late breakfast.
Yes,
because some of us slept very late. I'm looking at you, Damonette.
Leave her alone. Let her sleep. Let her sleep. She can sleep all she wants.
So I'm like, hey, you guys up? Well, what are you doing? He says, oh, no, I've been really, because he already sent his devotional and everything.
He's an early riser.
He gets up early. Yes. We're usually texting in the morning before you guys are up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, and I'm being real quiet because she's still asleep. And they said, oh, she's getting in the shower now. Pray for me.
Are you supposed to be telling that story?
Yeah, I can tell that story. Okay. Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
That's in jest.
That is all in jest.
Yes, yeah.
We guys love you like you guys love us.
Yes, you know? I know. Yeah, and so then we had a nice breakfast. The waitress was a little frazzled because she had Nancy. It was basically her for the whole breakfast thing. And then she had a difficult customer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you gave her a very generous tip to, you know, just ease the pain. And they stopped serving breakfast and they served us even though it was after 10 a.m.
She was the only one there.
She had to check with the kitchen too. Yeah,
she was saying, oh, it's a tough time. And then we all were walking away and then Jimmy went back and prayed over her.
Yeah. That was really sweet.
Very sweet.
That was sweet.
And so then day two began and this was even though Steve Winwood and the Doobie Brothers, I mean, we could have gone home after that and have been happy, but no, we decided to go find this monument.
Yes, the monument of the forefathers.
Now, most people go to Plymouth, if you go to Plymouth, to see the rock, Plymouth Rock.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I'm sorry?
We're going to talk about the rock.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the rock. And also the Mayflower, too, which is a replica of the Mayflower. And it actually sails, turns out. And you can go on.
Yes.
You can go on there and check it out. And now, so this is very blue Massachusetts, but there's American flags everywhere.
Everywhere.
It feels very comfortable and very good.
Very patriotic.
And so you have to understand that everyone goes to Plymouth to see the Mayflower and the Rock. And we are determined we're going to go see this monument, which is the largest granite monument in the United States. Maybe in the world. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's like 160 feet high or something. I mean, you have to, I'll put a link in the show notes. You have to see this thing to understand it. And it's like, there's a little sign, Forefathers Monument left.
Yes. It's like,
just a little sign.
Like nothing. Like if you blink, you'll miss it.
And you drive up this road and it's a residential area. There's just a clearing and there's houses around it. And there's this magnificent statue.
Yes. Yes.
And there's no tourist, no t-shirt stand. There's no concessions.
No.
There's no ropes. It's just as it was finished in 1889. And it is so impressive because it has all the different things we need in it to make America what it is, which is faith, education, justice, or is it justice? I should need to look at it.
I don't know.
And the liberty. So it's these four sides and there's different statues and faith is on top and she's pointing towards God and she has the Bible. Let me just make sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. But so faith, yes, at the top is this woman and she's holding a Bible. She's huge. And it says faith underneath her, like underneath her feet.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, here it is. I'll give you the four sides.
I would encourage everybody to look it up. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, well, the link is going to be in the show notes.
Okay.
Monument.
You should have been a little more prepared.
Okay, where are your show notes,
right,
girl?
Here, please. Monument of the Forefathers. I have right
to
here.
To the four. So this is the...
To the four.
It commemorates the Mayflower Pilgrims. It took them, I think, like 80 years to build or something. No, it started in 1850. And then they had a little break there, some war going on. And then 1889, it was a little war going on. And so it's morality, law, education, and liberty. But there's so many different panels and little figures.
Symbolism, a lot of symbolism. And it's all carved. It's a granite statue, and it's carved.
And on top of all that, on this woman's head at the top is, we weren't sure if it was an eagle's nest or an osprey nest, but there's a nest just like a thorn of, like a crown of thorns.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so impressive. And we actually stood that we walked all around it. And then I said, Pastor Jimmy, you got to pray over this.
Yeah,
and so we all stood there. We all touched the monument.
And
you realize like this, the people who came to America, 102 of them, of which only 47 survived. They decided they were going to leave everything behind. And there's a lot of spreading the gospel and God and throughout this entire mission that they had. And I could feel it. I could really feel like, wow, this is really a part of the founding of our country.
Yes.
By the true pilgrims, which turns out weren't just some people with funny hats and buckles on their shoes. You know, there's a little more story behind
history,
it.
Yes.
Which I was not taught in school.
I wasn't either.
So,
I was like, the pilgrims met the Indians and they had a feast. They had to eat turkey.
That's where Thanksgiving came from.
They came over
from
the Mayflower and landed on this rock.
Right. So then,
we were blown away by this. Yeah. Just blown away. It was amazing.
It's one of those things that people don't go to this thing.
No.
They don't. Most people don't even know it exists. They all go, let's go see Plymouth Rock. Let's go down there.
Monumental by Kirk Cameron.
It's on YouTube.
And then go and plan a trip and go see this thing. It is amazing.
So then we're like, okay, let's go check out the rock.
Well, no. So we're getting ready to go. And this group of women come up and this woman goes, oh, this is better than that rock.
We're like,
really?
Let's go see the rock. So we go to check out the rock.
You led us on a goose chase because somebody left Adam in charge of directions.
We all know
your GPS challenge.
This sucks. So
am I kidding or am I not?
No, you're right. So we park and then we actually parked up on the hill. So part of the story is that because they didn't know this at the time, but the pilgrims, the separatists. They were dying. People were dying throughout the winter. Mothers were sleeping on top of their kids to keep them warm.
But they
would die. And then instead of giving them individual burial spots, they didn't want the natives to know that they were dying off. So they took them all up to the hill and buried them all in one spot. And there's yet and this was plaque nerd heaven. I love me a plaque.
Yes.
I'll stop and read and take a picture
of any
plaque. We know I'm
supposed to get you a plaque when you go to heaven.
And
yes,
so, I know. Yeah, that's if I go first.
Yes.
And so, you know, the burial spot is there. There's all these amazing things. And then there's this kind of like a column-based monument. And we see in the distance, you know, the dames of Plymouth built that. I'm like, okay, great. Let's go find the rock. And I'm navigating and we go past the sign, which is literally a fish skeleton with a pig's head on it. I'm like,
that was a restaurant.
I don't think we're going the right way.
You're like, wait a minute. We're about a mile away.
Turns out it was that monument.
Right.
So we go back and there is the rock.
Yes. I'm looking at it. I'm like, huh? Okay. So it's like encased in sort of this like structure.
Like a Roman column
type thing. It's in sand, but they've got it protected so the sand doesn't get washed away. And people are just like looking at this rock. There's a plaque on it.
It says 1620.
I'm like,
and there's a sign and it says, Well, we don't really know if this was the rock or if this was the spot. Like one of the elders who was 95, he said, yeah, I think it was over
it
here.
It was like 120 years later. Yeah, said, like we think this was the rock. Like, so we don't even know if it's the real rock
or
not.
That's the rock, man. It's the rock. And then they put the rock over there and they said, this
They're
is
like,
the rock.
This rock looks good. Let's put it over here.
He said, we can build a whole town around here with IPA breweries. We'll call this the rock.
Yeah, this is the rock. And we're like, this is fake news. Fake news.
Definitely fake news.
The monument to the forefathers is by far blows the rock away.
And I've never heard of it, never learned about it. Anyway, so then we decided to go on the Mayflower, which was kind of cool and humbling because it was small for 100 people with goats and whatever else.
Animals,
and they were there for 66 days at sea.
Crossing and again, the Atlantic,
you just think, how weak have we become as people that to found a new country and to start something new, they went through this incredible hardship. Only half of them made it. In fact, a lot of them wanted to go back and then two said, no, we're going to stay. We're going to make it happen.
Well, no. What happened? There was two ships. Well, let me go back to the comment you said, how weak have we become? Yes. We freak out when we lose our phones. You know, these people got on a boat. It was
a wooden boat.
It was what was the name of the boat? The Speedwell.
Speedwell.
Yeah. So there was two boats and the Speedwell sprung a leak.
It broke basically.
Yes. Yeah. And so they had to take all the people that were on the Speedwell and put them on the Mayflower.
They had to divide them up. Not everybody could go.
Yes. And so that's why the Mayflower was crowded.
Yeah.
And so we got to walk around on this replica. And so we got to see kind of where their food was prepared and where the captain slept, and the people were all the way in the bottom of the hull of the boat.
They
didn't get to come up. They didn't.
No. Nope.
They said it was very busy on the ship. Like you just had to stay down there. And I said to Annette, I said, could you imagine being on this boat and it's rocking back and forth? And no, thank you. And you're right. We've become quite soft.
And they came in like November, December. Just imagine how cold it was. And
yeah.
But they were there because they believed in, of course, it, very important was their freedom of religion.
Yes.
And they, you know, because what had happened is the Church of England just really, no one had a Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't want to give people Bibles because if they had a Bible, they might figure out the truth.
Yeah.
So we can't have that. So they were there to, you know, live in freedom and live under God and follow Jesus's path and just, you know, start a new country.
And that's the thing that is so remarkable to me about what I've learned about this is how much God was infused in the origins of our country and how it's slowly being stripped away.
Well, even before they got off the Mayflower, they said, hey, and this is all part of the monument. They said, you know, we should probably make a little agreement amongst ourselves. It's called the Mayflower Compact. And right at the beginning, it says, in the name of God, amen. That's how it starts.
Yes, yes. And now you think about how they're trying to pull God out of everything now.
It's real. I know.
Anyway, it's fascinating. I highly recommend that you research it and learn about it. And if you get a chance, go out there and see this amazing, amazing monument.
And you guys, you walked past it, but there was also the Massasoit. It was the statue of the Indian.
Yes, I saw it.
Oh, you did see that? Yeah, he was the great sachem of the Wampanoags, protector and preserver of the pilgrims. And that's from 1681.
Yeah.
And it was erected and improved by the Order of the Red Men. So, you know, they had a vibe going on. They were working together with the natives.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole, like, we came here, we slaughtered the Indians. There's a little more to it. Don't forget the conquistadors and just our history books suck.
Yeah.
I was so blown away by the actual history. You got to wonder why.
So we got loaded up on history and we're like, time for margaritas.
Yes. So you all had
time
the girls, girls had some cocktails.
We had some cocktails and we were like,
and then we decided, we were going to go up to Lexington Green, which is 1775. That's where Paul Revere rode and said, the British are coming. Now I didn't know that whole story either, but there was Reverend Clark and even John Hancock and one other important dude, were up there and they were essentially preparing and training a ragtag bunch of guys, like 30 or 40, to make a stand against the British. Mm-hmm. And this was the shot heard around the world, where the British came with 800 soldiers to this little, basically little patch of green, which is,
very big at all.
It's like a triangle, basically.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they stood their ground, and 8 of them got killed. But the British eventually just gave up on it, mm-hmm. because we stood.
It was 70, the Minutemen, right?
The Minutemen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We stood and we said no.
Yeah.
And we stood against them. And of course, 1776 is when we had the Declaration. But there's this huge,
that big.
The flagpole?
Oh, the flagpole. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the monument there.
No, the flagpole. Oh. And at the top, and so there's an American flag, and it says, the birthplace of American liberty.
Yeah.
And it really was. And there's all these, this is the inn where they stayed. And this is the Reverend Clark's home. We walked over there. It was closed, unfortunately, on Tuesdays. And what was very striking is that there are a number of churches around this green. And there was like BLM flags and rainbow flags. And it was like, whoa, this is. It was weird. Mm-hmm. It was a very weird feeling. Mm-hmm. Not that we're against anything, but I mean, there's some distortion of the original founders, the original forefathers, and what they came to mm-hmm. do. And you can just see, like, wow, there's struggle going on right here in the birthplace of liberty. Does that describe it?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure that people who live in that area don't even think about the history of that, what happened in that park.
You don't think about
it. They don't think about it. They don't think about the significance of it. Certainly not thinking of it in the way that we are.
I mean, it was emotional.
Yeah.
For me.
Was it?
Boy. Yeah. Oh yeah. Jimmy and I were both like, yeah. Can you imagine, what these guys did and how they stood up to this?
Yeah.
And
Rick Green's doing a reenactment there. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. Serious stuff.
Awesome. Yeah.
It was really cool. It was really cool.
It was one of those things like your parents might have dragged you to it when you were a kid. Like,
you didn't appreciate it. Like, no, I didn't appreciate history when I was younger. Now I do. Like, oh, wow, really? Is that what happened? And to your point, what we're taught in school is so weak in comparison to what the
nothing
real story
at all
is.
Nothing at all yeah. about that. Let me think. Okay, so then we'd seen everything. Yeah. Like, we drive back. It was a pretty quick drive back to Foxborough. Mm-hmm. Went out to the Patriot Place and went to Davio's
for a great dinner.
Davio's for a fantastic. It's kind of like a Trulux type restaurant with seafood
and lots of options
with really
and we just
rowdy
stuffed ourselves
rowdy
stuffed ourselves
and then we went back and had an early dinner or early night because
we got up at 4:20
right mm-hmm. to get off to the airport,
but and we had travel favor all the way home, man, without a hitch.
So beautiful.
So what was your favorite part of the whole trip?
I can't say that there was a because there were so many highlights.
I know,
but I really liked how the four of us are in the car, and Pastor Jimmy and I are up front. We're yapping about our stuff. You girls are yapping in the back. It's very nice when you can travel like that.
They're the only ones we can really travel with.
I think and that was really nice. It was real friendship. Real fellowship, real camaraderie and discovery and appreciation. And I felt very American.
Yeah.
In a very good way. Because sometimes in American, you can feel like, we're a little American.
Yeah.
But this was like, hey, you know what? We did build a country that,
that's worth saving.
It's worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. And just when you see, there's a lot of good intent that went into this. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just so aware of how we have taken, going back to the National Monument, what we have changed in education, how we've distorted law, how morality has become, it's all become separated from the original idea. And subsequently, liberty is a little under pressure.
Yes. Yes.
And so for me, it's just like, yeah, well, we all have a part to do.
Yes.
And it only takes a couple of people and you can stand up against 800. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was reminded of. Yeah. How about you?
I never thought you'd ask.
No. It was the margaritas, wasn't it?
No. Similar to yours, I think for me was the huge, huge God wink of that license plate. That yeah, like, encompassed everything.
It did, yeah.
And that was to me, yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I just love that.
Those of you who subscribe to the newsletter
will be able to have
the picture.
Yeah, we'll be able to see the photo of it. So it was pretty cool.
It was amazing.
No, I loved it. I love traveling with Pastor Jimmy and Annette. I really do.
Yeah.
They're so easy to travel with. And we think a lot alike, which, you know, is great.
We're Americans.
America.
Americans, baby.
America.
And then we got back, a little quick layover in Chicago, which was phenomenal. So we're sitting there waiting for the flight from Chicago to San Antonio. And all of a sudden, over the loudspeaker,
there will be a worship service near Gate A17.
Like, what? I have never in my life heard an announcement in an airport.
On a Wednesday,
worship service.
Yes.
In the airport?
Uh-huh. Now, chapel. There was a chapel.
Unfortunately, it was going to be at 10, so we couldn't go there because Jim was like, dude, we would have rocked it out in there. How about that?
Yeah, that's really cool. Interesting? I like that.
Never heard that in my life. So me I just took that as revival.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Another God wink.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. And then we got back and we had our car at the hotel, so they dropped us off. We drove home, and then I got to go get my baby.
Oh, yes, your fur baby.
I took Elise. We got Phoebe, who was all nicely washed and smells good.
She smells so good. Her nails have been clipped.
And, you know, and she even takes a moment to say goodbye to everybody. She's like sniffing the people. They're like, bye, 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 I'm leaving now. Which, well, who are you? And we come home, and she gallops towards you.
I know.
And I'm like, you know that she doesn't care about you, right? She doesn't think about you. She's not at all.
And she gave me the biggest hug. she gives these hugs with her head.
Yeah.
The biggest hug. It was so sweet.
It was super. Yeah. It was very, very sweet.
Yes, I know. Very sweet. But I was riling her up too. I'm like, Phoebe!
No, but she loves you.
Yeah, she does.
More than you love her.
What? That's not true.
I say, oh, I miss Phoebe. You say, I haven't thought about her at all. Not a second. Haven't thought about her. No. No.
That's funny. You know, I wanted to talk about, and I don't remember what it was, but I wanted to talk about how when I present choices to you, I've already made up my mind what we're going to do, but I give you the illusion of choice.
Here's how it goes.
I give you the illusion of choice.
Okay, I'll do it very simple, basic.
Okay.
Tina will come into the studio. Do you want to do A or B? And I'll say, B. She says, really? Really? A is the way to go? And then I'll be like, well, why did you even ask me? Just tell me what we're going to do. You are the funniest person I know.
Yes, I give you the illusion of choice when I've already made the decision.
It's like voting in America. You get the illusion of choice.
I wonder how many other people do that. Like, yeah, I think we should do this, but I'm going to act like I want his input. But I really don't want his input.
Now,
I know, I'm sorry.
It's like, do you like this one or do you like that one? I like that. Really? Because that one's just good.
Are you high?
Are you high? No, this is wrong. This is the wrong thing to think.
Oh, sorry.
You're funny. Can I just say, just as another aside, throughout the past 2 weeks, the YouVersion app, which I think we both look at the daily devotional, the YouVersion app, and they've had Olympians.
Yes.
Who have, and
athletes in action.
Athletes in action. Thank you. And it struck me. It was so nice to hear other nationalities, other voices, other accents, people not Americans talking about God the same way we talk about God and about Jesus.
Pretty cool.
It really was.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, this is a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just wanted to say that. It really struck me. It's like, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Because you don't think about it. It's like, I get Dutch people sometimes emailing me, and then it's really hard because, you know, Joshua is Josua. J-O-Z-U-A. Yes, uh-huh. And like, and you know, and they're say there's sayings that I have to really look at and say, oh, this is what that is in mm-hmm. English.
Yeah.
With these, the Athletes in Action was all in English, but all different accents, different nationalities, different people. It just struck me. It's like, yeah this thing's pretty big.
Yeah.
This Jesus guy. Yeah, yeah. He's got some followers.
I agree. I agree. Well, with that, you want to go into the gotcha?
I would love to go into the gotcha.
It's time for Tina's gotcha.
And you didn't even have one this morning. Like, I don't have a question of the week. What are we going to
do? No, no,
we can do it tomorrow. We can do the show on Thursday.
I was kidding.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was kidding. No, I knew where I wanted to go with it. I knew where I wanted to go with it. And so God gave me the scripture. And the scripture is, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Mm. It's Psalm 121, verse 2.
This is my
Psalm. Help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so that came to me because of what I've been facing the last couple of weeks. When I went to church on Sunday, I was feeling very fragile last week for a variety of things. And I felt like the enemy was just coming after me. And that was part of my joyless feeling. I felt like the enemy was just like hitting me with friendships, hitting me with our marriage. Like I talked about, you know, feeling undesirable. Mm-hmm. Financial trauma, you know, dealing with energy here in the house. And I said to Annette at church on Sunday, I said, I'll tell you all about it when we're together. And I said, is this Satan or is this God like strengthening my faith? And she said, it could be both. Mm. It could be both. Because, you know, and I always say this, God is more concerned about our sanctification than our comfort.
Yes.
And this was uncomfortable for me. And so when we were in the car, she said something to me and she said, you know, Tina, the joy comes from the Lord. Your joy comes from the Lord. And I know that.
Not from a podcast.
But I know that because I kept going mm-hmm. to scripture and mm-hmm. I kept reading and I kept writing. And so I know that, but it was, I felt like the enemy was just like really bold and strong and coming after me. But by her saying that, and being able to talk to her so freely about it and just be completely transparent and open and vulnerable and honest, like it really, that was the lesson that God wanted me to learn, mm-hmm. you know, and to realize that, yes, all my joy comes from him. So
well, that's my gotcha. This, of course, is a very special psalm for me. 121. Mm-hmm. This is the going away prayer that my grandmother made every time we left the homestead. That. The oldest grandchild would have to read Psalm 121 from her King James Version. Do you mind if I just read it?
You're going to read the whole thing?
It's not that long.
Okay.
Because it starts, I'll do a little bit of her version mixing with NASB's. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. That's how it always started. Okay. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Behold, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. So the sun will not beat down on you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. So my grandmother would say, and then she'd say, and bless those coming, those going, and those who no one will pray for.
And oh,
yeah.
Isn't that crazy that the Lord led me to that psalm?
No.
I mean, I don't mean it crazy and like, wow. I mean, I always want to be in wonderment. I never want to lose that. It's just like that license plate, you know, and just like leading me to the psalm. I never, ever want to, and I don't think I will. I will never take that for granted.
No.
So anyway, so that's my God shot.
I love you and your God shot. Your joy is back, everybody. And we have some people to thank.
Now it's time to hear from Nicole Sokas.
That's right.
That's right.
We got to hear from those cocksuckers now.
What did you say?
What did you say?
What did you say?
Now it's time to hear from the Cokesuckers.
So we want to thank the people who are supporting Curry and the Keeper with their boostograms on the modern podcast apps. Fountain is a great one to try. Many more that you can try at podcastapps.com. Because once again, we are a top 10 app and a top 10 show and a top 10 episode on Fountain. And that really gets people's attention. So support us any way you can. Time, talent, treasure. Thank you, Craig, for the artwork. Beautiful episode 100.
Yes,
thank you for everybody,
Craig,
who sent in notes of encouragement. CurryandTheKeeper.com. We have a page there, donation page. And also sign up for the newsletter. You will not be disappointed. And we kick it off. We have two executive producers today. $100 from our OG Salmonier, Michael Anastasio.
Sweet.
And he says, young couple.
he's younger than me.
He's only a few weeks older than me. Congratulations on episode 100. It has been a true pleasure joining you in this journey. With summer coming to a close and the weather getting a bit cooler, more wine will be on its way to Hill Country soon. Provided Tina starts indulging again.
I did have champagne last night.
Yeah, but you better start drinking on the show.
Okay.
Otherwise, she's going to stop sending goodies.
Okay.
Share God, share love, and share wine. Your OG Salmonier, Michael. P.S. I will be crossing the threshold to 60 on Monday, so we say happy birthday in advance, brother.
Happy birthday.
He says, Adam will let you know what life is like on the other side prior to your big day. I'm sure it's exactly the same as today.
He's joining the party. You're all joining the party.
We're all
appreciate it. Thank you so much, Michael. You are just incredibly kind and generous, and your notes are always so lovely.
Jacqueline Lentz.
Yes.
Now, I do not recognize this name.
I don't
Jacqueline
either.
Lentz.
I think she is.
She's going to be decanted.
You've been decanted.
Jacqueline.
Like Jacqueline. I do not have a note. Do you have a note from Jackie?
I don't have a note. No, I don't.
Jackie, send us a note so we can thank
yes,
you and,
Jackie,
and hear what you're all
you.
About. $100 executive producership for her. $25 from Cole Dial.
Oh.
Has Cole ever donated before?
No.
This is also a name I don't recognize.
That came through PayPal? I didn't see that.
Yep. Let's give Cole
You've been decanted.
Oh, no. I saw that. No, I did not get to...
I have no note from Cole either.
Oh, send us a note, Cole. Thank you.
Then we get DJW, which is, I think, the Dirty Jersey...
Whore. I know Pastor Jimmy won't say
he
it
won't
on his
say
show.
It on-
I'm like, whatever.
He's an awesome dude, by the way.
He's a lovely man.
He's about 7 feet tall.
He chats with Sir Biden with an eye on
him. All the time.
Yes.
He sent us 19,760 Satoshis, and he says, happy 100. Y'all
Thank
be good.
You.
Thank you very much, DJW. 9,000 sats from Comic Strip Blogger.
Oh, CSB.
And he says, don't mess with Texas and listen to a podcast by Texans for Texans.
Oh.
www.justtwogoodoldboys. That's Sir Gene and a dude named
yes,
Ben.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Comic Strip Blogger.
I love that he's back.
Yes, me too.
We missed you.
And he sent a donation to Podcasting 2.0 promoting our show.
I love that.
It's very cool. KT Chopper, $5.33.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Check your donation levels, KT. I think there are some Salmoniers hiding who don't know it.
I believe so.
We have a mini Striper Boost, 7777, from Sir Brian with an I. And he says, please don't lose joy for the show. You bring so much happiness to the vineyard, and you've even said before that you've made wonderful friends through the show. And look at all the people you've got dusting off their Bibles.
Yeah, this is true.
He says, you've even got me seeing life differently myself.
Aww.
And what did you tell me the other day? The enemy will not win. And that alone brought me joy.
Aww.
You having back channel with Sir Brian?
Yeah, we text occasionally.
And another 33 from Sir Biden with an I.
Sir
Speaking of joy, he says, happy 100th episode.
Thank you.
It brings me joy to announce.
Uh-oh.
Oh, brother. That SirBrianWithAnEye.com
has
made it through beta testing and is now up and running.
I got to look at this.
I'm not putting anything behind a paywall, and my cybersecurity team is working around the clock to make sure we never suffer a DDoS attack. and I have procured ample bandwidth. Please like, share, and subscribe
okay.
so you never miss an update. And as always, let me know what you think in the comments section. Smash that like button in the evening, y'all.
In the evening.
All right. So he has, let me tell you what he has.
This directs to
his YouTube channel, and he has 24 videos.
Oh.
Well, actually, it's all audio clips of us talking about him on the show. Yeah. And he's got 4 subscribers.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well,
all right. I'm going to subscribe. So you're up to 5 now. Yeah. I'll subscribe so you have 5.
Oh,
thank you, Brian.
So
you're very sweet.
3333 from Sarah Marie. I'm listening. I love the show.
Oh.
Tina's awesome. Go, Tina.
Oh, Sarah, you're so sweet.
Very nice.
You are so sweet.
Gene Everett with 3333 in the evening, y'all. Oh, yes.
In the evening.
Cheers from Armagh, New York. That's right. He's in Armagh.
Yes.
Oh, man. So good up there. 1111 from Lone Yank. Tina.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say that we all still love you guys and love the show.
Aww.
I personally generally can only listen while I'm driving, so there's no instant feedback, and I honestly forget to send stuff later. Keep your chin up. Keep being awesome. Keep, and more importantly, KTLY and KYBO. There you go.
Thank you.
Oops.
Cut it off.
Let me do that again.
What happened?
You'll never hear it in the edit. Thousand Sats from Ash in Texas. Tina, there's a lot of Tina here. Tina, every week listening to you and Adam discuss your journey to and with Christ inspires me to continue mine.
Oh, thank you.
I hope that brings you some joy. God bless you both and Phoebe, Ash in Texas.
Oh, thank you.
777 from Jeffro in North Carolina. Tina.
Oh.
Stay the course.
Oh.
Joy will come in the morning. Your podcast has become my weekly Wednesday evening check-in to hear how you and Adam are doing as an OG listener of Vineyard Nation since episode 1.
Wow.
We lived through your faith conversions, Adam's teeth, your dietary journey, and now your daughter's recovery. God is good.
Oh, thank you.
All the time, Jeffro.
My heart is so full.
Yes. And then Papsnap sends us 300 sats. No.
Oh, that was so kind. Thank you all so much.
That is really. Okay.
Thank you.
There you go. Now, I want no more complaining from you for at least 100 episodes.
Okay.
Then you can start complaining again.
Okay.
And do you see how much fun it is? See, don't you just love doing your show?
Yes, I love it.
Yeah.
No, I do.
Nice face.
I do.
Yeah,
everybody.
Was a hostage video here? Blink twice if you really love it.
No, that was really, really kind. Yeah. It was, I'm not going to lie. It was a slump for me. It was really a slump. And you know, when the enemy comes in, and that fear sets in, he will just spiral you down. So
that's what he does.
Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Get thee behind me.
Get into the word, stay in the word. So
are you ready?
I am.
Believe it.
The question of the week.
She shakes it out of her sleeve.
The question of the week.
Wasn't sure where that was going.
She's got all kinds of stuff up that sleeve. It is time for
the question of the week.
All right, it's the question of the week. Tina has the question. She already has her answer, so it puts me on the spot. It's always hilarious.
Yeah, because you have the lamest questions, so we can never.
Well, no, they're just traumatizing for you. My questions are very traumatizing. Okay, here's the question of the week.
Who was your childhood best friend? And what is one of your most favorite memories with that friend?
Whoa.
I have good questions.
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course I moved around a lot.
You always have what do you mean by childhood best friend?
No.
And what do you mean by
my childhood best friend? I would say, childhood when I was, so it was in Dutch school, because I really didn't, you know, I was kind of an outsider loser.
Yeah, because you wore your purple bodysuit.
What episode was that trauma? I would say it was Rick Poldervaart.
Rick Poldervaart?
Rick Poldervaart.
Poldervaart?
And fire. Yes, Poldervaart, exactly. Believe me, he's heard the joke. And he was my buddy in school in fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And he was very serious about badminton.
Oh,
which was kind of weird.
Because somebody has to be.
And the memory I have is, I don't know if it's the best memory, but I was going with his family and his younger brother and his parents to stay in like a little vacation house, little townhouse thing. And it was for New Year's. And we had this big bag of fireworks. And we decided it would be a good idea to take one of those little lady fingers and then light
cookies?
It.
The cookies?
No, the lady finger firecrackers, the little ones. It was usually come in a row of 1,000. And just have one and light one inside in the house. And then before the before the fuse would get to blow up, we'd pull it out and it would be funny. Well, of course, not only did it blow up, but it blew up in the bag of fireworks and half the house burned down.
What? That's your most favorite memory?
And I think we blamed it on his little brother.
That's your favorite memory?
That's the memory that comes up for me.
Oh my God. You burned down the house?
Half of the house.
Yeah. Oh my. And you're laughing.
There you go. Favorite memory. What can I tell you?
Oh my God.
You hadn't even heard this story, had you?
Oh my gosh.
I have other memories, but I thought you'd like to share. That's the one that popped up for me. It's a favorite memory. I didn't say it was a great moment at the time, but it's a favorite memory. Like,
you
boy,
how
stupid were we? We were morons.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Hope you're all entertained by my question of the week answer. What do you have? Top that.
I can't. Let's close the show. I'm done.
Come on, man. Give me your favorite memory, your childhood
friend. Nothing like
that.
I mean, no, my best friend from high school, Allison Soto, and I met Allison. I was a sophomore, so I was in 10th grade, and we both tried out, and we've talked about this for the Timerettes.
So the
Timerettes, we were the timers for the swimmers.
Yes.
And we became really good friends because we served on the Timerettes together.
You had your little stopwatch.
We had our stopwatch, and we always had to wear white shorts and red t-shirts.
Yeah.
And we had to make sure that we didn't wear black underwear under our white shorts because they threw us in the pool every time they won. So anyway, but Allison and I, we met in sophomore, but in my junior year, and she was a year older than me, she was a senior, we got fake IDs and we would go
You were 15?
No, I was 16 and she was 17 and we got fake IDs where we were 18 and she got to know the bouncer at one of the major discos because disco, it was 1979.
Disco.
And so disco.
Dizzy.
And so we would go out dancing and we would get into the discos and we didn't want to drink. We were not interested in drinking. We just wanted to dance. And that's when the floor was all lit up like in Saturday Night Fever.
With the squares, the red, yellow, blue squares.
They would always play Last Dance by Donna Summer as the last song.
Man.
I mean, that's all we wanted to do. And sadly, I ruined that friendship because I went back to my ex-boyfriend and then he became everything that to me.
And then I forgot my
girlfriend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lesson learned.
Do you know what she's up to?
No, I don't. Yeah. She's probably in Northwest Indiana somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe she and Rick Polderfart can get together. Talk about good times. Hey, baby.
Hey,
100, congratulations.
Happy 100, babe.
I love you.
Who would ever thought I'd be a podcaster? I love you, too.
I always knew you'd be a podcaster.
Okay. I
love you, too, darling. Hey, everybody. We'll see you next week right here. Curry and the Keeper 101.
In your day, Curry and the Keeper.